Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 6, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 50, that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects through one paragraph ending, "We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Debbie P. The readers of the text, Wendy M., Penny L. C., and Alex K. The reference number for Sunday, July 5th, is 23,607. That's 23607. And for this morning, Monday, July 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,610. That's 23610. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann SCH, and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks very much. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, this is Debbie P. in South Florida. 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 50, that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defect. One paragraph ending, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And we're commenting on this one paragraph. I'll now ask Wendy M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Dawn. So happy to be on this call with all of you. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes used their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance while we were intolerant ourselves. We missed the reality and the beauty of the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of its trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. This is definitely one of my very favorite paragraphs, because I read it, I'm like, oh my God, that's my family. Like, I thought we were the groovy liberal ones, you know? We accept everyone. Not even close, you guys, not even close, right? I grew up and nobody told me these things. My parents didn't say, I want you to be prejudiced. Like, we didn't talk about that at the dinner table, but we were. I learned hate. I learned that difference is absolutely terrifying. I learned that if you were a certain religion, that wouldn't be safe for me and my family, that eventually we would be killed. I mean, this stuff runs so deep, right? And so what does this mean? I take other people's inventories. My eyeballs are glued on you. You say one word and you're out. Like, you say that one word and I make it mean I'm not safe, right? Like, I'm suspicious. I build a case. And by the way, if I do that, my people win and your people lose, right? And what is this? This is my thinking. We agnostics is about the spiritual liberation of my thinking, right? And that's what this did. It was like it woke me up the minute I read the words. We talked of intolerance. You're wrong. We're right, right? We get to win this battle. That's how I grew up. thinking I grew up in some liberal, open-minded home. I did not. Right? And what is this all about anyways? It's about the illusion that we're separate, right? That's the greatest dishonesty. This is all about learning how to be dishonest, right? That if we're different, you're bad, you're wrong, and I should be in fear of you, you know? And so this is about the illusion that I'm not only separate from you, but I'm separate from God, and I'm separate from myself. And that is absolutely not what this book is about, right? And when I complain about God's handiwork, what? I know better than God? Not even close, right? This is calling for humility, open-mindedness, right? Willingness to be open. The other night, I swear to God, true story, I'm 6 weeks in dating somebody, you know, we're in the bliss land, and he opens his mouth and says something. Oh my God, he said that one world, wholesale condemnation of him. I couldn't see the beauty in him. I couldn't see the God in him. All I could see was, holy cow, he just said that, I'm going to shut down, right? My addiction, my love addiction, my food addiction, it's all the same. You know, he ruined it, right, by opening his mouth. Oh my God, that means that he's not safe. That means that we're separate. And there's two choices. We're either in fear or we're in love, right? Fear is we're different, we're separate, and I'm going to get screwed, right? And love is God. I have two choices. This whole thinking, intolerant, the ugliness of your trees is just fear. It's just self, Wendy's and self. And what's happening? Okay, yeah, I'll just say that what we're doing here is love. We're all connected. We're all one. We're all beautiful, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M., for beautiful, beautiful share to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. No problem, Elena. I appreciate the enthusiasm there. So, so who, as well as Elena C.?
Alex K.
Victoria F.
Victoria F.
S as in Sam.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay. Well, this is a fantastic lineup. I have Elena C., Alex K., Victoria S., Janice P.M., and Deborah G. Elena, please go ahead and get us started, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm calling from South Carolina, Elena C., recovered for today. And what I hear in this paragraph is how the spiritual side of things, it's all good, it's all lovely, it's all, you know, it's all beautiful. And also that it's not necessarily perfect. There is the ugliness of the forest. And to me today, there is no ugliness of the forest. There's just, you know, maybe withered leaves or flowers or like trees that are not as perfect. They're imperfect. And it's about celebrating all of that. And it's just like inside of me. You know, I can understand that the faith is not fear yet. I believe my higher power gave me fear and other feelings when I was born to learn how to learn about myself and learn about the world around, to learn about other people. And it's all good. And the whole system inside of me, of all of that, it's all good. And it's all faith. And, you know, character defects, they serve the purpose and they still can do. And, you know, yes, last night I was just like the first speaker, I was bothered by some of the things that my husband said, and you know, I got frustrated. I had an attitude, and in a spare of a moment, everything that I felt for my husband, love, like disappeared.
And I can really so much relate to this paragraph. And, you know, the beauty of this program is that I got up in the morning and I guess, you know, God performed some miracles on my head that I no longer felt that way. And you know, in the program, I learned that nobody is perfect. And I need to look at myself and others as a multitude of things, as a system of things, you know, all good or all bad. And there is no good or bad. It just is. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Alex K., it's your turn, followed by Victoria S.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, everyone, for being here and doing service. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, given a reprieve for today. Before recovery, I thought I was open-minded and accepting of differences, but I really wasn't. I was intolerant of many things that I didn't like or agree with or understand, and one of the things I was most closed-minded about was anything to do with God, higher power, or spirituality. My mind would instantly snap shut as soon as I heard a mention of that subject. And it reminds me of the phrase contempt prior to investigation. I had contempt for it, but I never investigated it, never gave it a fair hearing. I was prejudiced against it based on my preconceived notions, which weren't accurate. And it's just one example of how my old ideas kept me stuck and prevented my growth and connection with others. I'd form an opinion about something and wouldn't hear anything else, and that was a barrier between me and others. I thought I already knew everything I needed to know on certain subjects, and nothing could budge me from that position. And that faulty thinking, which sometimes was delusional thinking, not rooted in reality, it made my life very small and limited because I refused to hear certain things, and I had such a narrow vision of life that I missed out on a lot. I never considered that maybe there was a different way or even a better way than my way of thinking, or I might learn something helpful by listening to other points of view. I didn't have humility. I wasn't teachable. But I'm grateful that the program, My Higher Power, have opened my mind and I can listen to and respect and appreciate many other ideas and ways of thinking and perspectives. I can take what I want and leave the rest, but not dismiss something automatically. And it makes my life and experiences richer because I'm exposed to so much more. And I think my higher power wants me to take advantage of every possible resource that can support and add to my recovery and my life, and always be open and teachable and welcome anything that might broaden my horizons and increase my awareness and connection to others and my higher power. I know there's a lot I don't know, and I'm willing and eager to learn. My sponsor says, I don't know are some of the most spiritual words I can say, because it means I'm open to something new. I'm not other than my ideas, and I think that's part of enlarging my spiritual life. So it's a pretty exciting journey, ever expanding, as if the blinders are coming off and I can see a whole new world. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex K. from California. Victoria S., it's your turn, followed by Janice P.M.
Hi, thanks, Dawn. Victoria S. calling from California. Good morning. Happy Monday. Well, this for me is like a knothole in really opening the aperture of my... It starts with... The previous paragraph starts with being reliant on my thinking, being reliant on my mind. And then it moves to religious people. It's pointing out for me my own pomp and prejudice, specifically about religious people, not just in general having an open mind, yes, of course, but having this open-mindedness about religion itself, which I did not have, and where religious people sometimes had, I have an echo, I apologize. Religious people sometimes have hypocrisy. And so it's to open my mind to having a new experience, if you will, about religion itself, religion concept, religion as an actual, there are written texts about this specifically. And so the book continues to tell me to that I need to enlarge my spiritual life, which will include truths from other religiousness and also other people, and to open that knothole that I've perceived and metabolized life through, and just to literally start out with a set aside prayer. Anyway, thank you so much. Matt, I'll pass.
Thank you, Victoria S. from California. Janice PM, it's your turn to share, and followed by Deborah G. And just quickly want to remind people, we're talking about page 50 today, that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects. Through one paragraph ending, we never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. And we're talking about that one paragraph. So after Janice and Deborah, I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Janice.
Wow, thank you so much, Dawn. My name is Janice PM, and a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Now, because I've read this paragraph for many decades, and in the beginning I said, yeah, that's a pretty picture. Yeah, the ugliness of the trees. I would dwell and focus on that. Well, not really. I don't know what that's got to do with me in my spirituality. I really didn't, because I wasn't spiritual yet. I was still religious. And in religion, I'm going to equate that hypocrite, religious hypocrites, because I lived across the street and my parents had a bakery from my religious domination, and I'd have to get up at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock to wait on them, and I was really resentful. And then I would smell alcohol on some of the people, and I'm saying, oh, what hypocrites. So you see, I didn't have spirituality. All I had was a disease, a real compulsive overeater with all its sightings, the disease of compulsive overeating, all the weaknesses that I had. I didn't know I had weaknesses. My mother had weaknesses. My father did. The nuns had weaknesses. The priests had weaknesses, but not I, And I expected others. And that's why this is such a beautiful picture. I didn't know that it was me. I had no idea. How would I know? My mother didn't have it. They, had their own problems. And so I expected others to be what I wanted them to be. So I started a wonderful decades of criticism and intolerance and impatience, and nothing satisfied me. My food didn't satisfy me. I wanted different food. I wanted more food. It wasn't the right kind. And, I was jealous and I was criticizing, all those beautiful human weaknesses that I found out through these meetings, especially A Vision for You, because I would even criticize at the meetings. I would have certain personalities that I judged, and I said, oh, they talk too much. And what I learned, a miracle, through these 12 steps, and I highly recommend, our 12 and 12 chapter on the fourth step, because that's what I found out about me, who I was. I didn't know about relationships until I was taught that the first relationship I must have
time
is the relationship with God. Thank you. Then I'll find out about myself, and then I can have a relationship with other people. And it's a miracle. Spirituality, I found spirituality, and it grows and grows with step 4 and step 10. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names. Morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Dawn, and thank you again for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line and hearing all these beautiful shares from everyone. Thank you all for 12-stepping me and working my thinking for me, because that's my problem, is my thinking. And you know, for years and years, and I was in the food, and just I didn't have any awareness of any of this. I was always a victim, and having unrealistic expectations, taking things personally. You know, just it was just insanity going on in my head and feeling. And then I wanted to go to food or something that would relieve me from all this stuff in my head, you know, because I didn't know what to do about it. You know, all I knew was what I knew, you know, the food. So I'm eating short in comfort. And then I, when I came into the program and had a sponsor, asked a sponsor to sponsor me, and she took me through these beautiful 12 steps, was I able to see the truth. I was able to get to reality, you know, and it was so freeing. It was so freeing, and continue to do that. You know, just recently I had to call somebody to do a step, and at first what she said, I got angry. I could feel it in my body, but then right after that, I felt this peace. Because it was the truth, because it was reality. And like all of you have just shared, reality about everything. And I'm so grateful that I can be connected to that higher power, connected to all of you, and be open to listen, listening more than feeling like I have to say something all the time about something or even about someone. You know, and just stay in that experience. And I'm just so grateful, blessed, and I hope you all have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Patty G. from Manitoba.
Robin H.
Did I hear Janice F. K.?
Yes, you did.
Okay, Janice K. And then I heard Robin F.
Marcel Robin S. Manitoba.
I heard Marcel.
Michelle A.B. in Colorado.
Robin H.
Was there a Robin F. as well? Or just Robin
no,
H.?
Robin H.
Okay.
Patty D.
Patty D.
Michelle Arizona. Hillary B.
Penny L C.
Okay, Penny L C. Okay, let me tell you who I have. I missed a ton of people. I sincerely apologize. Janice K, Robin H, Marcel, Patty D, Penny L C. Who did I miss?
Michelle A C.
Michelle A C.
Hillary B.
Hillary B. And we'll go ahead and stop there. I apologize if anyone else I missed. Janice K., Robin H., Marcel, Patty D., Michelle M. C., Penny L. C., Hillary B. Janice K., please go ahead and get us started.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon.
it wasn't really a sentence. What struck me was just the phrase, we talked of intolerance. that one, on that one, you get my experience with some aspects of this. I knew growing up that my family was intolerant. I came from a rural conservative background, so I know I wasn't supposed to like certain types of people. And the thing is, I suspect it's a lesson a lot of us learn very early. I knew, even with that background, that my dad was not a friend of God, and that he would tolerate people talking about God, but then he would make fun of them later. And because of that tendency, or maybe not just the tendency, but for a number of reasons, I grew up trying to appease everyone, trying to be everything to everybody. And I suppose it's no great shock that I grew up not knowing who I was. I grew up also with a tremendous inability to say no. And that led me into certain very interesting adventures. The thing that really strikes me about intolerance is that I didn't begin to experience reality or beauty until God, my higher power, entered my life. And I realized when I had kind of, it's described as a mountaintop or white light experience, that I had met something worth a lifetime pursuit. And I also knew that my dad was not a friend to that entity, being, force, power, whatever you want to call it. I know that joy did not enter my life until my higher power did. I know that it is present in my life to the extent that I engage and entertain him, her, it, they, whatever. Intolerance robs us of the reality of the beauty of things, and it robs us of joy. That has been my experience in intolerance. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Robin H., it's your turn, followed by Marcel F.
Hi, Robin H. calling from Boston. And I want to start out by saying thank you to all of you and express how grateful I am for your words, your shares, your guidance, and for program. I had the great benefit of spending time this weekend with my mother, and I could sit and listen and really listen to what she was saying. And I grew up trying, not even realizing that I was living up to an absolutely unrealistic ideal that I had adopted, which was to be perfect. And also, as others have shared, thinking that I was tolerant of all, because I was told that our family, yes, was, we accepted everybody. We thought everyone was perfect and everybody was alike, when in fact, that was so not the case. That was certainly not what was being lived in my home. So I was listening to my mother, and we were at a hotel, and her just listening to, I don't know, her righteous indignation about everybody that she saw in the judgment. And it just went on and on. And my usual tactic is to interrupt and dismiss what she has been saying. And I could sit and listen, and I waited for a moment, which was really hard to do because there aren't many moments when I could speak. And what I chose to say was, you know, so I'm actually in program right now. And I just shared with her what OA was all about and what 12 steps are all about and how important I have found that I do have a relationship with God. And of course she interrupted and said, you know, I proved that there was a God. And I just sort of smiled inside as I realized, not from a place of pity, but just a place of reality of how sad I guess she must be, because what she does is certainly separates herself from everybody, because she is right and everyone else is wrong and every way of life is wrong. And I feel as if my heart was open, because there wasn't anger there. There was just appreciation for her in that moment of what she has been through. And what I could do is just sit and listen. I mean, program is about absolutely an inner transformation and understanding that believing is seeing.
Time.
And yeah, I thank you so much for all of your teaching and your shares. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin H. from Massachusetts. Marcel F., it's your turn, followed by Patty D.
Good morning, everyone. This is Marcel F. from Manitoba, Canada. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service, for everyone who makes the vision meeting possible. It's just the best way to start my day. And this reading, oh my goodness, intolerance and judgment. And everyone can be a victim. It can be my family. It can be an institution, a system that, you know, would work so much better with my knowledge. It can be politicians. It can be, you know, just anyone. What do I get from that? You know, this feeling of superiority. But that is such, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It just poisons my soul. And, you know, I think of myself as being, you know, so open-minded, but yet if I look very carefully in my inventory, in my 10 steps, I see prejudices come up. And, you know, I think of that ladder, the ladder of humility and being, not being on the top rung or the bottom rung, but just in the middle of the crowd with everyone else. And that is a gift from God, from my higher power. And I think of, you know, in the Bible, it says, you know, you can't, you know, you see the splinter in another person's eye, but here you've got this whole big tree and stuck in your eye. And how it doesn't have to be that way. I can ask God to please remove these defects of character and help me to be more loving and tolerant, as is our code of love and tolerance. And that's what's happening. God is changing me. And I am just so, so, so grateful, living in gratitude for the small changes. I'd like to be perfect right away, but, you know, on God's timetable. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Marcel F. from Canada. Patty D., it's your turn to share, followed by Michelle M.C.
Thanks so much, Dawn. This is Patty D. I'm calling from Arizona. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. The first time I'm sharing on this meeting. But, you know, I love the big book, and this part of it reminds me of, when I was a child, I was raised as a small child. I was sent off to catechism and to church, and my mother would attend sometimes, but my dad was usually too drunk to do it, and he wouldn't do it anyway, probably just didn't want to. And so as I grew older, I stopped going to church altogether. And then in my 40s, I started having these experiences where I knew it was God just trying to get my attention, one thing after the other. And so I started attending this non-denominational church, and I was loving it, and I truly loved it. And then I started another 12-step program about 10 years later. And the first thing, when I heard that you could choose a God of your own understanding, I didn't like that, because I had this drilled in my head that, you know, there is one way. And I knew I needed this other 12-step program deeply. And so I talked it over with God, and it's like, you know, I don't know what to do. But then I remembered the most important thing, you know, what Jesus, what the Bible says, that the most two important commandments were, and that was to love God and love others. And so I said, okay, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take this religious part anymore. I'm going to try and do this more spiritually, and just, you know, God, to me, God is love, so I'm going to love God and love others. And what a wonderful way to live. I'm very new to this program, but, you know, I'm feeling a deeper surrender in this program, just doing this on top of my other one. And I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm so grateful for all of you. And now, you know, I can accept people as they are, you know, and whatever their beliefs are, that's wonderful. You know, before I would hear these people talk and like they were holier than thou, and then see them doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But as I've matured and become closer to God, I realize everybody's broken. Everyone's broken, and they need these. They need to go to church. They need their own thing to try and to heal and to get closer to God. And so now that's just my thing. You know, love God, love others. And I don't have to believe what others believe, but I do need to accept them and love them just as they are and however they believe. So now I just try to stay close to God so I can keep doing that. You know, separate from God, I can't. I become my old ego again, and I see people's faults instead of seeing the God in them. And that's what I need to keep doing. I just appreciate all of you, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Don B, we can't hear you.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry about that. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 50, that first paragraph. Instead, we looked at the human defects through one paragraph ending. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. We're talking about that one paragraph today. So, Michelle MC, it's your turn to share, followed by Penny LC.
Thanks, Dawn. This is actually Michelle AC, gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And wow, I love when a paragraph completely points out where I am in the moment. And I feel like I'm living some lines of this paragraph right now. I'm in a situation with another person where I am wholesale condemning them, which I think is kind of the same thing as silent scorn, except I'm not being as silent about it as I could. And in so doing, I am not seeing where I'm like them. I had a fellow say to me yesterday, there are two kinds of people in program. There are good examples and there are great lessons. And I am really learning what I could be like if I were to continue to act the way I'm acting, which is trying to live my life without God as the director, you know, me trying to be the director. And that's just so how my brain works. That is the disease of my brain, is to be intolerant, to not see reality, to not see the beauty of the forest, because I'm seeing the ugliness of some of the trees. And I'm realizing I can't really trust the way my brain works to assess situations correctly, that's part of my agnosticism. And so I have to really be quiet and trust my higher power. And listen to the voices that my higher power speaks to me through, which is often you all, lots of other ways too, and two-way prayer and all these ways, because I can't see reality as it is. I see reality as I am. And so I'm being confronted right now with not doing, I don't even say this. I have made mistakes because I saw the forest, not the trees. I've created harms because I saw the forest and not the trees. I've been intolerant. And I haven't been able to live from a place of love. And so I read this paragraph and it reads to me like part of more about alcoholism, right? Which is more about my really, really messed up thinking. And so I'm really grateful that the solutions in the last paragraph, right? Give the spiritual side a fair hearing. In other words, stop, drop and roll, stop, pray and listen to God. And it's given me a whole new view of the situation, of the other person, of my part in it. I see the harms I've done. I have some amends to make. But going from wholesale condemnation to fair, just, reasonable, loving is not something I could ever do myself. It's something that I need my higher power to do. And so like just dropped in the middle of this We Agnostics chapter, it's perfect for me because it's showing me this is what agnosticism looks like. And the harms it does are innumerable and really bad. And I've been guilty of those things while being intolerant of other people. And the solution is so simple and so beautiful. And I'm so glad that I have it today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle MC from Colorado. Penny LC, it's your turn to share, followed by Hillary B.
Thank you, Dawn, for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Instead of choosing to set aside my prejudices and choosing a spiritual guide that was higher and greater than myself, I chose to defy and resist the idea. Instead of being willing to believe, to even consider believing, I chose to criticize those that did believe, to point out their faults, their flaws. I tried to belittle their words and actions. Why? It was simply a self-protective mechanism driven forcefully by fear. My fear that I might try to believe and fail, that my belief might not make a difference, might not work to change me. What is that saying? No risk, no reward? When I find myself pointing out their wrongs, it's time to examine how wrong my thoughts, words, and actions have been or currently are. My fear and insecurity, not to mention self-centeredness, had me locked in and shut down to other possibilities to even consider. What a no-win confinement I have created for myself. Thank you, but now there's another way. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny LC. Sorry about that. To cut you short there, the meeting time is ended. And thank you to everyone who shared. I'm sorry, Hillary. Please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear you share. But thank you to everyone. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny LC please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, this is Penny LC. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.